Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on Daf Nun Gimel, 9 lines from the bottom of the Daf. We open with a quote from the Mishnah that we saw in our previous shiur on Daf Nun Beis Omid Beis. Miser Sheni, one who attempts to marry a woman by offering her the Miser Sheni tithe, Bain Bishogeg Bain Bemezid Lo Kidesh, Divrei Rebbe Meir. Whether it was with lack of knowledge of it being Miser Sheni, or knowing it was Miser Sheni, deliberately offering her Miser Sheni as a means of marriage, it's an ineffective marriage. It doesn't work. It doesn't work to establish a marriage. We explained in our previous shiur, we define Miser Sheni, so by all means listen to our previous shiur for that. And according to Rabbi Meir, Miser Sheni has the status of Momon Gavoah. It's really not yours. Once you tithe and separate and declare 10% of your produce as Miser Sheni, your entitlement to eat from it in Yerushalayim is a right that you are granted from on high, from heaven. Hence, it's not yours, it's not your momon, and you therefore can't use it to marry a woman. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shogeg Lo Kidesh, if you were not aware that it was Miser Sheni and you offered it to her, so it will not be effective. Mezid Kidesh. The Mishnah went on to describe Kochim, or I should say Hekdish. Hekdish, something that's dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. And there you had, again, a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But the issue of Mezid and Shogeg changes when you're dealing with Hekdish and their respective opinions. We now continue with the Gemara itself. Mino Hani Mili. From where do we know that you're not Mekadesh a woman with Miser Sheni, as we saw Shitas Rebbe Meir? We have to point out structurally, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading on the side in the margin of the Gemara, the Nosei being the topic heading Mivneh, the structural note. You'll notice numbers 1 and 2 in a bow tie shape. These are Shlavim, stages, Lahoychiach Meha Posuk, to prove or establish from the Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Lamed that Deloi Delo Mekachem Isha B'Maiser Sheni, that you do not marry a woman using Maiser Sheni as the Kesef Kiddushin, as the value offered to a woman when trying to marry her. The Gemara Minohani Mili, from where do we know that you're not Mekadesh a woman with Miser Sheni? Omar Rav Acha Brei de Rava Mishmei de Gemara. The term Mishmei de Gemara is in the name of a tradition. So there, you don't have a name per se, but Rav Acha is quoting a tradition. V'chol Masar Ha'oretz Mizera Ha'oretz Mipri Ha'etz Lashem Hu Kodesh Lashem. That's our Pasuk, namely we referred to this before, Vayikra Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed. What do we learn from this? Lashem Hu, it is Hashem's, the tithe is belongs to Hashem, Velo L'Kadesh Bo Isha, and it's not available for marrying a woman. You have a right to eat from it, but that's a right that you're granted from on high. You'll notice a new geometric shape that appears, a volcano shape. And under our Mivneh heading, we indicate these are kushos. These represent questions. You'll notice a squiggle underline used, and that's explained, Hadgoshas, Hatshuvos, Hatshuros, Le'inyin, Kodesh, V'Lashem. We're highlighting the answers given at each stage, at each question that's raised. A part of the pasuk will be cited, and we're highlighting that as, when I say a part of the pasuk, we cite it as the answer to the question raised. So now we continue. Vehare Trumas Meiser, Dichtiv. Trumas Meiser is the tithe that a Levi separates from the Meiser Rishon that he receives and gives to the Kohen. So there's an aspect of Truma involved when we speak about Trumas Meiser. Dichtiv, Kain Torimu, Gamatem, Trumas Hashem. Utnan Hamekadesh B'Truma Mekudeshes. So here you have the Hashem alluded to in the pasuk, stated explicitly in the pasuk, and even though it's described as Trumas Hashem, it says Utnan Hamekadesh B'Truma Mekudeshes, that the use of Truma, Trumas Meister being an example of Truma, is effective in marrying the woman. The Gemara says, well, Delok Siv Lashem. The lamed is missing from the word here, which indicates that truma is different than meiser sheni. The pasuk that says Lashem indicates it's His, it's the Almighty's. But truma sashem just means the truma that God commanded you to give, not that it's His. We continue. Vahare chala dechsiv ba titnu Lashem. Chala is the dough tithe that's separated and given to a Kohen, and it says in the pasuk, you see, Lashem, Utanana Mekadesh B'Trumos Mekudeshes, one who tries to marry using Trumos, and the term Trumos, we hinted to this before, but it's an umbrella term that includes, as we said already, Trumas Meiser and the Challah tithe as well. And here you do have Lashem, and marriage nevertheless with Trumos, including Challah, is effective. Well, the Gemara responds, Delok Siv Bei Kodesh. So unlike the pasuk cited with regard to Meiser Sheni, where the word Kodesh appeared, not so in the case of Challah. Question. Vare Shvias Dichsiv Ba Yovel Hu Kodesh Tieh Lochem. Here you have the word Kodesh. Utnana Mekadesh Beperush Shvias Mekudeshes. Though reference is made to Shvias, and Yovel are, we'll say, interchangeable for our purposes. These are years, the seventh year, the sabbatical year, the fruits are unowned. They are available, they're hefker to the public, and likewise with regard to Yovel. And here you have the word Kodesh appearing, and it says Mekudeshes. It nevertheless is effective. We saw this in our previous year, that the man who gathered a basket full of figs and offered it to the five women, if you recall the previous shiur, we saw in the Mishnah there on Daf Nun Beis that the Mishnah itself was on Daf Nun Omid Beis, that the Shvius fruits were an effective means of marriage, even though in the pasuk you see Kodesh. So to say that the appearance of the word Kodesh, which means holy, will exclude something, and we're referring to Meiser Sheni right now as being a means of marriage, is not really so. So the Gemara says, well, with regard to Shvias, Delok Siv Bei Lashem, you don't have Lashem by Shvias or Yovel. Vahare Truma, Dechsiv Kodesh Yisrael Lashem, Reishis Tvuaso. Here you've got both key words, Kodesh and Lashem. Utnan Hamekadesh B'Truma Mekudeshes. The the pasuk that we just read mentions reishis tevuah. So that reishis tevuah was a term that is, let's say, appropriate or a description of truma. So you have a pasuk that makes an allusion to truma, and we know that one's mekadesh with truma, she is mekudeshes, even though you have in this pasuk kadesh and lashem. The Gemara responds, Hahu b'Yisrael k'siv, the Kodesh Lashem, holy unto the Almighty, is a description of the people of Israel. It's not a description of Truma, but rather the Jewish people are called Kodesh Lashem. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. V'lav memela shamas mino. Here we're reinstating a question. Okay, so you're calling the Jewish people Kodesh Lashem, but at the same time, the Jewish people are compared to Truma. We say Reishis Tevuaso. Reishis Tevuaso is Truma. So that even if you say Kodesh Lashem is a reference to the Jewish people, but the Jewish people themselves are compared to Truma, and Kodesh Lashem appeared with regard to the Jewish people. So wouldn't that prevent Truma from being a means of marrying a woman? And here we have now stage two revealing why Meiser Sheni cannot be used for marriage. Tirgum Rovin Savo Kamei Derav Omar Kro. The pasuk says by Meiser Sheni, who the pasuk we read originally by Yukra Peruchov Zayin Pasuk Lam, it said Lashem Hu. So the word "hu" means "behavyoso yehe." It remains as it is. In other words, it is Lashem Hu. It remains Lashem's. That's what Rashi says on the third line from the top. Behavyoso yehe. It remains Lashem. And so that the word "hu" is really the key aspect of the pasuk, not kodesh, not lashem, but combining the kodesh lashem with the word "hu." That's why we're calling this a second stage, because up till now we were focusing on the kodesh lashem aspect, the words lashem and the words kodesh, but here we focus on the word, the actual word "hu." Ubehedish, again a quote from the Mishnah, b'mezid kidesh b'shogeg lo kidesh divrei Rabbi Meir, using something that was sanctified to the Beis Hamikdash as a means of marrying the woman. So if you deliberately used it, knowing, when I say deliberate, you knew it was sanctified and you used it to marry the woman, it's effective. If you were not aware, so it's ineffective. Rabbi Yudah Omer b'shogeg kidesh b'mezid lo kidesh. And Rabbi Yudah says just the opposite. If you were unaware, then it is effective. If you were aware, then it's not effective. There's a great amount of background that one ought to have in order to appreciate this Gemara more fully. If you're familiar with sugyos in the Shas that deal with the violation known as mi'ila, so this Gemara will be, I would say, more understandable. If you haven't learned anything about the topic of mi'ila, the misuse of holy items, sanctified items for your own purposes, so let this be your introduction to the topic. The idea that, let's say, serves as an undercurrent for this Gemara is the use or the misappropriation of something that was dedicated, sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash for personal purposes. What happens when you do that? Does the item lose its sanctity, or does it remain sanctified? If we describe something as losing its sanctity, that will make it easier for us to understand how someone could hold that it's an effective means of marrying her. Because as long as it's kachim, as long as it's sanctified, it's not really yours. It belongs to the Almighty. We say it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, means the holy. It's part of the realm of the holy, not yours. It's not your personal funds. The Gemara that we're about to learn has some markings and some structural attention that needs to be paid. We look at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A house form appears, and the house form highlights Rabbi Yochanan, and it highlights Rav. You'll see Rav is featured at the very bottom of the page, the last word on the page. And on the side, we've written as follows: Rav Rabbi Yochanan beinyan hamoitzi mois hekdish b'shogeg l'Rebbe Meir. The use of holy funds that were sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, and you are motzi, means you spend them for personal purposes, but b'shogeg, unaware, you made a mistake, you didn't realize that these funds had been sanctified, according to Rebbe Meir. Hayim yetsu l'chulin, do they become mundane? We note here in our comment to Ayin Rashi Nun Dalet Amud Aleph Dibur Hamaschu Chozarnu. We're recommending to look at Rashi at the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, the next Omud of Gemara, and based on Rashi's presentation of the Gemara, Simanu Kinikuda Ruko Hanisoyon Shrabiyankiv Lefanech Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. We're using a long marking when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan. Whose role here is to Rabbi Yankov's presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, who comes to decipher Lefanech Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yankov comes to explain Rabbi Yochanan, who explained number one Shigigas Meiser to Rabbi Yehuda, and number two Shigigas Hegdish. The Rabbi Meir, the lack of awareness with regard to Meiser Sheni and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and the lack of awareness regarding Hegdish and Rabbi Meir's opinion, the Bishneim Ein Ho'isha Miskadeshes. In both cases, a woman will not be married. A triangle appears a little bit later, Svoras Rabbi Yirmiya, and an inverted triangle will present Svoras Rabbi Yochanan. Svoras Rabbi Yankiv. Diomar Ibcha Mistabra. The opinion of Rabbi Yankiv will be presented as the opposite of what Rabbi Yirmiya suggests. Hence, you'll see an inverted triangle. What we're going to do right now, besides pointing out that the double underline that will be appearing in this section of Gemara is used to highlight the terms Meiser and Hegdish. Meiser is a topic we discussed in our previous year, and Hegdish we will see now. In our note, we already made reference to the respective opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and each one's approach to Shigoga. As I say, there's a Rashi at the top of Nun Dalet Aleph, and I realize we haven't learned the Gemara yet to really appreciate the Rashi, but my intent is simply to get us into the topic a little bit and get a flavor of what we're going to see before we get into our Gemara. So I know that we're called jumping the gun. We're reading something that we haven't learned about yet. But let's do it anyway. Rashi at the top of Nun Dalet Aleph, the first Rashi. Chozarnu al kol tzedim shel Rabbi Meir klomar. Afalpi shishoninu l'Rabbi Meir. B'shogeg lo kidesh. Even though we have learned, according to Rabbi Meir, using sanctified funds, but not aware as such, and then using that to marry the woman, she's not married. It doesn't work. Lav mishum desviro le. It's not because Rabbi Meir holds Hegdish Mishogeg ein mishalel, that the misuse of Hegdish funds in a state of Shgoga ein mishal means they don't become chulin. They don't leave the realm of Hegdish. Shechozarnu b'chama mekaymos shishona Rabbi Meir or I should say Shechazan b'chol mokum Shoshana Rabbi Meir b'Hilchos Hekdish, we have, and this is what the Gemara will tell you, Rav will tell us, we've searched all the places the Rabbi Meir discusses Hekdish v'lo motzinu mokum shomar bo, and we don't find any place where he says Hekdish mischalo b'meziv ein mischalo b'shogeg. That Hekdish loses its sanctity only if it's spent deliberately and not spent under mistaken circumstances. Whether you spent them aware of their Hekdish status or unaware, the funds become mundane. And at that point, the Gemara, as we mentioned on Daf Nun Daled, will reject all of the hezbeirim that will be given for Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, where Rabbi Yochanan has an approach that will try to make a distinction between shogeg and mezid, trying to explain how b'shogeg it's not mischalel according to Rabbi Meir, and we will say no, we don't find Rabbi Meir making that distinction. To the Rabbi Meir, yesh meila b'mois hektish. With regard to Rabbi Meir's opinion, the misuse of hektish funds results in the meila sin. The king of the Moal Nafuzlum, when you see Me'ila, you're also seeing at the same time the departure from Hektish from the sanctified status and thereby becoming mundane. Well, if that's the case, I know again we're jumping the gun, but when you get to the Gemara over there and you're going to end up saying that sanctified funds become mundane even if they're misused in a shogeg in an unaware fashion, then why b'shogeg lo kiddush? Why then, if you use the sanctified funds to marry a woman, is it ineffective? It's mishalel. It becomes mundane. It's your money then. It's not sanctified anymore when you're offering it to her in marriage. So why b'shogeg lo kiddush? The Gemara will give its answer there, so we'll maintain a little bit of suspense till that point. But what have we accomplished by learning this Rashi? We've accomplished the following. We're brought to the realization that till we get to Nun Daled, Daf Nun Daled, we're going to be seeing attempts to explain Rabbi Meir making a distinction between the misuse b'shogeg versus the misuse b'mezid. And it's quite reasonable to try to show that distinction because that's what we saw in the Mishnah, that b'shogeg kiddush, that is b'shogeg lo kiddush and b'mezid kiddush. The Gemara. Omar Rav Yankiv, Shamis mino du Rabbi Yochanan Tarti. Rav Yankiv tells us that I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Tarti means 2 points. Shigigas Meiser de Rabbi Huda, Shigigas Hegdish de Rabbi Meir, Shneim Ein Isha Miskadish Bohem. I heard Rabbi Yochanan relate to the topics of Shgoga with regard to Meiser and Rabbi Huda's opinion that she is not married, and the Shigigas Hegdish of Rabbi Meir, likewise, she is not married. And I heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Chado lefi she'ein isha roitza, v'chado lefi she'ein shneim roitzim. In one case, we're not saying which one, in one case, it's because the woman is dissatisfied. When she discovers that it's either, we'll have to see, Hegdish or Meiser Sheni, the woman doesn't want it. In the other case, we're not saying which one, is because they both don't want. And I don't know which one is a description of which case. That's Rabbi Yankiv saying what he knows about Rabbi Yochanan in his explanation of the Tanoim, in the cases of Shigigas Meiser and Shigigas Hegdish. So Rabbi Yankiv is presenting to us his quandary, his problem, his doubt. Let us figure it out. Let us analyze and find out in which case it's only the woman that's not satisfied, and in which case, both are not satisfied. Now, structurally, you can see, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we have a double underline, we'll describe Meiser and Hekdesh, and likewise, when we get to Rabbi Yankov, who, after hearing Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yankov, even though he said he doesn't know what Rabbi Yochanan said, but if I'm going to base myself on Rabbi Yirmiyahu, I can argue in the opposite direction. So we continue. Rabbi Yirmiyahu says, well, let us figure it out. Meiser, ihi lo nichola. In the case of Meiser, we're going to tell you, notice, by the way, we scroll on ihi, the next line right underneath it says, ihu nichole. And so there's a contrast between ihi, the woman, who lo nichola, she's not pleased. He, it's fine with him. So we can say that when Rabbi Yochanan made reference to Ein ha isha raitza, that's the case of Meiser. The Meiser b'shogeg. That's the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda's position on marrying a woman b'shigegas Meiser. At the time he offered the Meiser, he was not aware that it was shogeg. Well, the reason for it not being effective is the woman would not be happy. When she discovers that it's Meiser Sheni, she's not going to be happy with it. Why not? So, ihi lo nicha lo mishum tircha d'urcha. The man gave her Meiser Sheni. Of what value was the Meiser Sheni to her? It's only going to be of any value until she takes it from wherever she is to Yerushalayim. That involves exertion or troubling oneself to travel to Yerushalayim with the fruits. So she doesn't want that. She's not interested in extending herself and troubling herself. So she's dissatisfied. So that you can't say that the woman is agreeing to marriage and taking something that she doesn't want. Ihu nichole, the man, he's fine with it being Meiser Sheni, the nikni itzama mela. He gets a wife by the way. Ela hekdish travayu lo nichalahu de nischil hekdish ayodayu. The word nischil, the shorish, the root of that word has to do with the word chil, with it becoming mundane, with it being violated or profaned. So in the case of hekdish, both the man and the woman, and this is of course the explanation for Rebbe Meir's position on shigigas kodesh. Where the woman will not be married. Why will the woman not be married? Well, you have a situation of they were not aware at the time of it being offered, it being hedish, but when they discover it, they're both going to be dissatisfied in knowing that they were party to having the kodesh, the sanctified funds, become chulin, to becoming profaned. So they were parties to the profaning of the hedish, resulting in their being regretful and upset with that being used as kiddushin. For Bianke Vomar, Ibcha Mistabra. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Further down in the narrow lines, for Bianchev, the Omar lo yadinon heminayu, Rabbi Yankov before, who said, I don't know which explanation is appropriate for which kind of item, Meiser or Hekdesh. Omar loch, Rabbi Yankov now tells us, otu ibcha nami mi leko lefrushi. You, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, gave your explanation. Well, I personally don't know for sure what Rabbi Yochanan had said, which explanation he had assigned to which entity. However, hearing your approach, could you not say the opposite? Ulameimar b'meiser l'fishen shneim roitza b'hegdish l'fishen isha roitza, and to explain that by meiser, in fact, both are not happy, and by hegdish, only she is not happy. So now let's see Rabbi Yankov's approach, and notice also we have a long marking indicating that all of these lines are Rabbi Yankov's argument in response to Rabbi Yirmiyahu. The Gemara, Rabbi Yankov Omar, Ibcha Mistabra, I can argue to the contrary. Mi lo ikol ameimar, is there no room for saying Meiser? In fact, both are not satisfied. You'll notice we squiggle underline ihi and ihu, but in both cases, lo nicha, they both are not happy. Ihi lo nicha la mishom tirfa de urcha. Like we said before, she's not going to be happy when she realizes that it's Maaser Sheni, that she's going to have to trouble herself with trekking to Yerushalayim. Ihu lo nicha le mishom ainsa de urcha. He is not happy because of the obligations he is going to have if anything happens to those Maaser Sheni fruits until she gets to Jerusalem. He has the responsibility to make good on anything that happens. Rashi has a couple of approaches to this, but for our purposes, that's sufficient for right now. In other words, he's going to have to make good on it, because if anything happens to it, so he hasn't, and it doesn't get to Yerushalayim, so he hasn't really given her anything. And Kiddushin has to be with a Shava Prut. It has to be something that has a minimum value to it. And until she gets to Jerusalem, so the funds, or I should say the fruits, have no value. The Gemara continues, Elo Hekdesh, Bishlamo Ihi Lo Nicholo De Nischel Hekdesh Al Yodah. When it comes to Hekdesh, I can understand that the woman will not be happy that she is the cause, or through her, the Hekdesh becomes profaned. Rashi says on the fourth line under the Gemara text, Bishlamo Ihi Lo Nicholo De Nischel Hekdesh Al Yodah, De Mahano Yeshlo Bechilulo. What benefit does she have in the sanctified funds becoming profane, becoming mundane? Im lo sekablenu, if she doesn't accept it as kiddushin, yitzarech zelah kasha behetter mishlo. He'll have to pull out money, hetter money, permitted money, out of his own pocket. So she doesn't benefit specifically by these funds becoming profaned. From Rashi, I'm assuming, because she knows full well that he'll have to offer her something else, of an alternative value. However, Ihu, when it comes to the fellow himself, Ela Ihu, mi lo nicho le denikni itza memela, is he not happy with using the hektish funds in getting a woman right now? So it's true, he will have to pay eventually, but right now he doesn't have any funds right now, so he's got this hektish funds. And by the way, he's not aware right now that it's hektish, and he's getting a woman, he's creating a marriage right now with these funds, so he can be described as someone nichole, that he's approving of it. We continue. Bomine rova merav chisto. Isha ein miskadeshes. We said that using sanctified funds, hektish, will not enable a marriage to be created. That's again shigegas hektish according to Rabbi Meir. Mos mau shietsu lechulin. Now, if you're telling us that she is not married, the monies, do they become chulin? Rashi says, "Mos mal sheitzel chulin lehenos mehen ato v'zeh yischayben korba mila." Do they become chulin? And if they become chulin, so then you would be able to then you would be obligated to bring the special sacrifice for the sin of meila, for having caused it to become chulin. Omar lay. So Rav Chisto answers, Isha ain miskadeshes. The woman doesn't become married. Mos hechetzu l'chulin. How could the money become mundane? Nothing happened. There was no transaction. There was no change in status that took place. So through what mechanism would they depart from hegdish if in fact nothing was accomplished? So, in simple terms, Rav Chisda says the money does not become chulin, and there's no korban meila. Ba mina Rav Chia bar Ovin me Rav Chisda bemecher mai. Rav Chia asks Rav Chisda. Before we had Rava asking Rav Chisda. Here we have Rav Chia asking Rav Chisda. Departing for a moment from the issue of marriage, but going to the realm of sales. A person took Mois Hekdish Bishogate, unknowing that it's sanctified. And according to Rebbe Meir, used the money to purchase something. What is the din? Do the monies become mundane? Amar le af b'mecher lo kona. In a commercial transaction, the purchase does not take place. And as a result, the money would not become chulin, and there is no mi'ilah, according to Rabbi Meir, in Hekdish, unless in the case of, a mistaken expenditure of money, of monies. Rashi goes on to say, where do you find mi'ilah then, according to Rabbi Meir? Rashi says, if you eat sanctified foods, but the expenditure of sanctified funds, there will be no mi'ilah. And the idea being that wherever they are considered in the realm of the Beis HaMikdash. We continue. Esve. This is a Tanaic source. You should be aware, it's the background for this source involves the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash that entrusts Hekdish money in the possession of a storekeeper. In order to appreciate this brief source, Rashi gives us the background to it. Let's look at the Rashi together. In the lower part of the Rashi commentary, you know, estimate around 10 lines up from the bottom, Chenvoni Kibal HaBayis, Mishnah Hiba Me'ilah. It's a Mishnah in Tractate Me'ilah. Gizbar Hamafkid Mois Eitzel Shulchani. The temple treasurer entrusts Beis HaMikdash funds by a Shulchani. A Shulchani is a money changer. He's constantly using cash. Im Tsurin, if the Gizbar entrusted the Beis HaMikdash funds in a knotted sack, tied up, lo yishtamish bohem. That's a sign to the money changer that he ought not be using them. It's given to him for safekeeping, but not for his own use in the money changing occupation. Lefikach im hoitzi, if the money changer does use them, using them in his business, and you're dealing again with Hekdish funds, lo mo'al ha-gizbar. The treasurer is not guilty of mi'ilah, elo shulchani. The money changer is he is the one that initiated the misuse of the funds by opening up the sack that he should have realized is knotted shut for him not to use. V'im mutarim, if the gizbar entrusted the money to a money changer, the holy funds to a money changer in an open sack, so it's an invitation, so to speak, for the money changer to use it. Yishtamish b'hem, so he'll use it. Lefikach im hoitzi, if they are used in his business, mo'al ha-gizbar. The treasurer is guilty of me'ilah, debir shusei, ofad. The money changer's use of it was with the permission of the gizbar. Demei de yoda. It's well known, the Gizbar certainly knew, the Shulchani Tzorach Lemoz told her that a money changer is constantly using cash. So it was his mistake, his failing in giving an open sack of cash to a money changer, an open sack of holy funds to a money changer. That's tantamount to it being used for mundane purposes. Aval, Baal HaBayis, a gizbar that entrusts holy funds for safekeeping by a private owner, by a private individual. The private individual is not to use it. The gizbar didn't entrust the sack of money. We should have pointed out, benkachu benkachu means whether the sack is tied shut or even if it's open, the Balabais is not to use the money. If the Gizmor did not entrust the cash to the Balabais with the intention of his using it. Your average private individual doesn't use cash all the time. He's not constantly involved with using cash. Therefore, if the money is spent, and then the private person is guilty of misappropriating the funds. The Gizbor didn't anticipate whatsoever. He had no reason to anticipate the Balabais using them. What about a storekeeper? A storekeeper doesn't use cash as often as a money changer. What about customers that come to buy and he needs to order produce from the wholesalers? Many times it's done on credit. It's written down and it's paid up later, but not through constant use of cash. So how do we view a chenvoni? Is his contact with cash viewed like a private person or like a shulchani? So here we have two deos. We go back to our Gemara. Esvei, chenvoni kebala bayasdivir Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudah Omer, chenvoni kishulchani. If you classify the chenvoni as a bala bayis, then entrusting the money to a chenvoni and the subsequent misuse of the funds, only the bala bayis will be moyel, not the gizbor. The gizbor had no reason to suspect the chenvoni of using the cash. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says chenvoni kishulchani. And if the chenvoni uses it, uses the funds that were entrusted to him, the gizbor is said to be in violation of Me'ilah. Bearing in mind, we're dealing with sanctified funds, and we're dealing with a commercial situation. The use of sanctified funds inappropriately for the purchase of whatever. Ad kan lo komiflugi. Up till now, we have a machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. El demor sover chenvoni kishuchani, umor sover chenvoni kebala bayis. One views the chenvoni as a money changer, and the other views him as a private owner, a private individual. Aval de kule alma im hoitzi moal. But everyone agrees that if expenditure was done, that there is meila. So how could Rav Chisda say that b'mecher in a commercial transaction involving sanctified funds b'shogeg it would not be there would be no acquisition and hence there would be no me'ilah? Here you see a commercial transaction of holy funds. Assuming, of course, we're dealing b'shogeg, and Rabbi Meir is saying that there is me'ilah. The Gemara answers. Rabbi Meir, Lidvarov, Rabbi Koma. Rabbi Meir is not reflecting his own opinion here. He's addressing Rabbi Yehuda. Lididi, according to me, im hoitzi nami lo mo'al. Even if the funds were used, there would be no mi'ilah, because the shogeg, misappropriation of holy funds, according to Rabbi Meir, does not result in their becoming profaned. Elo didcha, but according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds otherwise, namely that hegdish b'shogeg, according to you, it would become profaned. Odi li miha, you should at least concede to me the chenvoni kebala bayis. You should describe the chenvoni as a private individual, and hence the gizbar who entrusted the money to a chenvoni, and the Balabais used them, the Balabais is moyel. The Omar Lay and Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir in response, lo, I'm not going to classify the chenvoni as a Balabais, but rather kishulchani. But the main point I want to emphasize here is that according to Rabbi Meir, the misuse of hegdish funds, b'shogeg, would not result in their becoming profaned, in their becoming mishalel. We're delivering our Gemara Mark and Shum in the context of the Daf Yomi, and at this point, the Gemara will be continuing in this discussion for quite a long time, which would necessitate overflowing quite extensively the Daf Yomi quota. So we're going to pause here, even though it's really not the best thing to do while we're in the middle of the ideas and they're all fresh in our mind. But the Mirtz Hashem, our hope is that when we present the next shir, this shir will be fresh in our minds. So before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.